Time is almost up. Thanks for listening to Big Band Broadway and Beyond. God bless, and if anybody asks, tell them Joe sent you.
Must we let it in?
And this is WHFR 89.3 on your FM dial. Welcome to this Friday afternoon. And we are just having a lot of fun here. We're broadcasting from the Dearborn Farmers and Artisan Market off of Michigan Avenue. And it is right next to the Bryant Library. We have live feed-in to the event over there with Jay Kornick. And stay tuned. Just a few seconds. We'll do the show, the new journal. And with Jay and I believe Dennis, and we're just waiting for them to call in. So let me give you a little more information about our station. This is CD the DJ, by the way, filling in for board operator. And thanks to Joe for all his awesome music that he always plays. It brings back a lot of good memories. I know I sound too young to know that, but I do know it. Glenn Miller, Ray Charles. Dean Martin, all those fun guys from the past that are still present in our music. And that's what's wonderful about music. It lives on. So while we're waiting for Jay to call back in, we're going to give you some information about our TCM 189 class. If you'd like to find out more about how to become a DJ, how to operate the switchboard, just be a member of our staff and volunteer. Whatever the case may be, you can join our TCM 189 class. It's a one-credit class, and it lasts for 8 weeks, and it's once a week for 2 hours. You can either pick for Wednesday afternoon or evening, early evening, 6:30 to 8:30, or you can pick Thursday afternoon from 1 to 3 p.m., and you learn all sorts of wonderful things about the world of radio. And so we encourage you to check that out at hfcc.edu and look for the TCM 189 class. And we'd be happy to have you and join our team here at WHFR. We're a non-commercial independent radio station, and we have all volunteer DJs, staff members here for you, loyal listeners. And again, if you want to join us, you can do so. Also, we want to give a special thanks to Susan McGraw. She's an awesome station manager. If you would like to contact her for any reason at all, her number is 313-845-9842. That's 313-845-9832. I mean, 42. Okay, here we go. And anyway, so let's see. What else? Wanted to let you know about some programs that we have during the week. We have a few talk shows every week. Tuesdays from noon to 12, we have Science Talk Hour, WHFR's Science Talk Hour. And I believe what's coming up is, let's see, on May 28th, actually, that's done and gone, come to think of it. Okay, let's see what else we have here. Mountain Stage, there we go. And that's done, too. So let's see. What do we have coming up? Oh, here we go. 5101 Restaurant is located on our campus at Henry Ford Community College Student Center. And it's on the Henry Ford Community College main campus. It's 5101 Evergreen, just south of Ford Road in Dearborn. And they have special international buffets during this time of year. Let's see, starting on, June 6th will be the next one. It will be Spanish New World Cuisine from South America, Central America, and Mexico. So that's pretty awesome. Speaking of world cuisine, I do a show every Sunday from 1 to 3 p.m., The World of Music. Just thought I'd throw that in. And then on the 13th of June, we have Old World Cuisine. And that's cuisine from Scandinavia and as well as Central and Eastern Europe. And then last but not least on this list is June 20th, an international brunch. Let's see, the restaurant will serve brunch with an international flavor. Seating is from 11 a.m. to 12:45 p.m. Seating for the lunch begins at 10:30 a.m. The cost for each buffet is only $14 per person. And to make reservations and to obtain more information, you can call the 5101 restaurant at 313-206-5101. That's 313-206-5101. And just one moment, we're going to, let's see, just play a little background music. I believe they're calling in right now, and we'll just get them on the air. And let's see. Okay, so we're attempting to put on the air. Here, you're on the air now.
Well, that's wonderful.
Yes.
That's very quick.
Oh, thank you. Thank you, thank you.
Did you already play my theme song?
No, we were looking for it, and unfortunately we could not find it.
Okay, it's under show-specific spots.
Yeah, okay. We tried.
All right. Well, for those people tuning in, they wanted a special live edition from the exciting Dearborn Farmers and Artisans Market, and we're almost there. We're inside the Chamber of Commerce now. Yeah. They didn't listen to Jay Cornick's weather forecast. They listened to some other people, and they said, oh, severe weather, close down the market. So we just did a break at 12:30, and we said, oh, we can clearly see in the sky the storm has passed. It went to the northeast, never got to Dearborn. So everybody still had to go home because nobody looks at the sky anymore. They just, make a decision based on what the police say. Remember Tuesday this week? Dennis Reimars is putting his headphones on right now, and we'll be connected in a moment.
So how's the weather looking?
Well, it's just cloudy.
Oh, but you're still open, right?
A little breezy out here. There's no storm. There's no rain.
Oh, good.
In West Dearborn. But you remember Tuesday of this week, if I remember correctly, it was Tuesday, not Monday, there was a severe storm warning Mm-hmm. It was picked up by the Dearborn Police Department, and they put it out on their NICSOL communication to the whole community. And then Henry Ford Community College, because the police contacted them, went, and they didn't cancel classes, but they had to inform everybody at the college, severe weather, oh, my goodness. And so some students heard this, and they left class to go home. There was no rain at all on Tuesday until Tuesday night. There was no rain. So, you know, unfortunately, weather in Michigan is a fickle thing. Mm. And if you're not, I'll get Dennis's mic up. There you go, Dennis.
Hello.
There you are. And if you like ride your bike to work or something regularly, if you're used to the outside world, you actually get a sense in only a few days of what the weather is. Hot, humid, storm coming up. So this is my little editorial comment, and remember these opinions are not necessarily those of anyone here at Henry Ford Community College. Of course, we're not at Henry Ford Community College right now, but we are broadcasting through the studio there. Thank you, Carolyn, for being what they call in the business our board op and holding down the fort there. So Dennis and I, even though sweating a little bit from putting away the entire studio that we had just built this morning in an hour and a half, they did it in about 20 minutes, but that was thanks to about five volunteers, including our general manager, Susan McGraw.
I think so, anybody that's been out on location where we go, there's a I don't know. I would call it our mobile unit. And we got it packed away in yep. Jay's car. Not scientifically, I might add.
Uh-oh.
No, I'm kidding. I'm kidding. Get very specific
instructions. We have to unpack that before the other events. Okay, so let's get started with news and views, you know, the Dearborn Journal, as we used to call it. And now we call it the new WHFR Journal. How soon I forget. It's only been about 12 years we had the new name.
Yeah.
But local news and alternative views. And we are broadcasting live from the Dearborn Area Chamber of Commerce. Thanks to their help, we were able to get set up and broadcast outdoors from our booth. And now we're still using one of their phone jacks and sending the signal back through. So we thank all of the people here. I saw Jennifer Gehring just down the hall, Dennis. I don't know if you saw her. She's, of course, not the president anymore. The new president, Ms. Lovejoy, comes on Monday. We met the acting president, Mike, today, and Peggy Richards, Renee Allo was here, and, of course, Millie Judd, too. And another office person, too, was also helping us. Very nice to meet everybody.
Well, I shook hands with Jennifer because obviously I've had a lot of interaction with her in Dearborn Heights and the TV station as well.
Mm-hmm.
And I said,
yep,
we'd love to have you on the show. And I wasn't specific. And she said, right now? And I said, no, we're packing up right now. She said, oh, okay, because I wasn't quite ready. But she has agreed to come on the Journal, and we can talk to her for a few minutes in the near future.
Sure.
And we'll have her on the
TV station. Because she is now working with the national group, I forget the name, but
Heroes,
right, they're trying to find employment for good jobs for our returning veterans.
It's a great cause.
Yeah,
excellent.
Great cause, and something the government should be doing, and maybe they're actually giving her a grant or two at the national level. But she's one of the big heads of the organization, and I think it's based in Washington, but here in Michigan she's helped out with several events recently.
Absolutely.
In fact, to that end. So here's what I have. Oh, I can just read from Dennis's newspaper.
I don't know if that's
maybe not
for print.
No. Dennis actually is publishing, just to show you how famous our staff is here, a newspaper. And this is out in the Milford area?
Brighton, Milford, South Lyon. And it's mm-hmm. actually, we're kind of going after a kind of a magazine-y look.
Yeah, because it's, in fact, a fun, mostly humorous paper.
Mostly, yeah.
You hope,
yeah.
Anyway.
Cross your fingers.
Yeah, and it's distributed in the mostly restaurants
it's
and other...
specifically to restaurant employees. Yeah, mm-hmm. We just have a little fun. We figure while they're on their breaks, they can laugh a little bit.
Well, they probably need that, yes.
Yeah.
Don't forget to tip your good servers.
It's funny because that's how Jay and I met. I had another publication in
that's
the
right.
area, and you had me on for an interview, and I just fell in love with the radio right
yeah,
then.
Yeah, well, I'd love to keep in touch with all the local media people, giving us alternatives to the commercial media, who don't always get the story straight, whether it's the first time or second or third time. So, and we do the best we can here. We just look at the Press and Guide and the Times Herald, as I'm going to do right now. I'm going to give Dennis the Times Herald if he hasn't seen it before. Usually we have back at the station a couple copies. But what I noticed, first of all, is from last Sunday's Dearborn Press and Guide. In Dearborn Heights, here's a story maybe you can fill in about. Special budget meeting, no help. The city council discussed several options for a lower budget Monday, and this is Dearborn Heights City Council, but couldn't decide on one. The council held a special budget meeting last week to see if it could make any more cuts in the proposed 2013-2014 city budget before it's adopted Tuesday. So it would have already been adopted. Do you know that? That was 3 days ago.
Right, and it was adopted.
Mm-hmm. So they didn't make any changes, I guess, right, Dennis?
Well, no, and there were quite a few, and this is running on the TV station right now as we speak, the council meeting, and there was a lot of, I'll use the word derisive. There were a lot of people bumping heads on this where they all
just
feel...
Council persons or people from the community that came in to speak?
A little bit of everybody, and the one who took exception the most is the clerk, Walter Pershevitz, who I know you've met, and he had... things that he felt she should say, and it's family friendly, but he was very passionate, and his goal was to tell people, look, I don't think that the cities, they've said certain things and they've adopted budgets that they openly admit won't work, and there is a process there, I think, there are such things as budget amendments where people will go in a certain direction, and if it doesn't work out, they can amend it and move forward as long as the state, they're working with the state. Well, he felt certain things weren't happening the way they should be, and he pointed fingers at a lot of the officials in the city, and of course they responded accordingly. So it was very compelling TV for cable access.
Well, that's right, and you have a local program, and it's rotated on your channel up
Absolutely.
There in
yes.
Dearborn Heights. What channel is that?
It depends on your cable provider, 10, 12, or 99, depending on if it's AT&T or Comcast or
Wow. Now, just to let you know, the city of Dearborn Heights is not in budget trouble, nor is Dearborn. Dearborn Heights, it says here, is carrying a $3.4 million deficit from 2011-2012 budget. However, in the 2012-2013 budget, which ends in just a month, the city expects to have a $2 million surplus.
That's what the mayor says, yes.
So they're not doing that badly, actually. They're probably balanced within another year or so.
Again, this is what's been said, but some of the people, including the clerk, didn't see the numbers the same way, and they question it.
Right.
But the mayor maintains, Mayor Pletko, Dan Pletko, maintains that there is, in fact, enough money for it to at least balance.
Yeah, budget issues get very tense, especially like here in Dearborn, where I think we've probably adopted a budget by now.
Well, you have to think that there's different people see differently on where things should be cut and where revenue can be generated. So it's an opinion thing at that point, you know?
Yeah, there was one of the individual disputes was, and Councilman Ned Apigian, and we know Ned from WHFR membership, he has said that the city has to hire three additional police officers right now. Police traffic sergeant Al Nason said the police department needs additional staffing. And thank you, Susan McGraw and Jeff Barham. Just got done packing up our vehicles out there. So there's no rain yet, is there? No, I told you. Yeah. That's okay. Always listen to the weather on WHFR. We'll get it straight for you. Thanks so much, folks.
Well, you WHFR, the weather state. No, we don't want to.
Well, we actually look outside. At the sky.
Wow.
Imagine. Yeah, we stand outside for a while and look at the sky. It's amazing, but it's actually more accurate than you can believe.
So tonight's forecast, dark.
Yes.
Okay.
There's no doubt about that one. Well, anyway, Apigian is quoted here in the story. He says, you've got to spend $108,000 because you have a calamity coming in 2 years, whether you like it or not. What's the calamity? The lack of police officers?
No. Well, I think a lot of things in the budget were pushed off for a little while. They were balancing it in the short term. I don't know what Ned's referring to, though.
Apigian has suggested asking the department not to use a budgeted $300,000 in overtime or to give back a contractual $400,000 in longevity pay. Well, that's a union thing. I don't know if this, you know, what can happen there. He says he asked the department.
Right.
But there's unions involved, right?
I've sat in on a couple special sessions where the union's involved, and they felt at the time, now this is some time ago, but at the time their stance was very strong. This is the police union, where they said, you know, we've taken these cuts, and we've pretty much gone down as far as we can. And so obviously it's a safety feature.
Yeah, if you read to the end of the articles, as I didn't do just now, but if you do, and I always recommend it, sometimes, as they say, the devil is in the details, although you can turn that around. Sometimes God is in the details. Herman Melville and Moby Dick turned that metaphor around. And so if you really look closely at things, you'll see the presence of some sort of divine plan. That's what he suggested anyway, part of the metaphor there. And it seems, if you remember, Dearborn Heights, they're in a deficit elimination plan that was required by the state a couple years ago, and they have to do certain things each year in order to qualify that they're making progress.
Exactly.
If they don't, then they get an emergency financial manager or somebody that can force it to happen. But they're making this progress according to this plan. So it looks like some of these issues have to do with are we making this progress or not? And Councilman Joseph Kosinski out there said the city is meeting the goals of the deficit reduction plan. He said, what are the kind of progress do you want to see? We've got a lot of information, a lot of suggestions, and a lot of ideas are being said, but not a solution. He says, I think there are we are on the right track, and if you review this for the next 3 weeks, you're not going to find any significant changes. That was his opinion, folks, in Dearborn City Council. So according to Dennis here, who should know, the budget was adopted.
Okay.
And probably without significant changes there. Some of the permanent trailers at Camp Dearborn are in a little bit of trouble, folks. The state of Michigan has ordered the city to make changes at Camp Dearborn. And, for example, no trailers larger than 400 square feet will be allowed because the state considers those to be mobile homes. So 400 square feet is 20 by 20.
Right.
Or 30 by 10? No, 35 by 10. Well, no, 39 by 10.
But for a summer residence, a temporary residence on weekends, that's, wouldn't you think that that's significant?
It also prohibits, quote, any permanent structure that requires footings, unquote, or anything in the ground that supports a patio deck or enclosure. So the camp will have to address any trailers that have a cabana or covering enclosing the trailer. Many trailers in Trailer Village 2 are also in need of inspection because they're in poor condition. That state officials say that. City officials are hoping to convince state officials to give them time to meet the requirements, but Mayor Jack O'Reilly and Lee Morris, the manager of Camp Dearborn, said if the city doesn't take care of the problem, the state will close the whole campground, not just the trailer section.
Hmm.
So there you go. And so that Morris said all the trailers must be moved in the winter so maintenance and infrastructure improvements can be made. He says he knows some people won't be happy, but the rules are specific. A storage area will be created on Camp Dearborn property by the end of the year. I guess if you were in one of those trying to keep stuff in the trailers over the winter, I never heard of that, but I guess that can happen.
But people have trailers there that are not. Yeah, they would store things there, sure.
The camp is closed from January 8th to March 14th, which allows time for the work. The city is aiming to upgrade electrical and portable. It's called not portable, it's called potable water supply, and also trims trees to make the sites bigger. So they got a little to do there, but that's the usual give and take between different levels of government, different rules, regulations, and they're trying to make progress in that. Just so you know, Camp Dearborn is not closed or anything like that. Just saying that there's a little problem they're taking care of.
So when they have non-potable water, all that means is that it's directly from a natural source and it hasn't been filtered or processed in any way, and they discourage drinking. Is that right?
Not sure. I would think by definition, potable water means you can put it in a pot, but I don't know if you can drink it.
Well, there's a cemetery close to my where I live now, and we kind of cut through taking the dog, and there's signs that say when the faucets say non-potable water. So I imagine it's for, you know.
Yeah, potable could mean, where's our dictionary here?
Right.
Potable could mean it's drinkable. And non-potable means don't drink this, but you could use it for cleaning or washing,
sure.
maybe, or I don't know.
The lawn. They're doing flowers for the graves.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah.
Did you see anything fun in the Times Herald there?
Actually, it's, a lot of it seems a little bit. Like, I hate to call it.
We've already done it.
Yeah.
Yes. Okay. Well, here's there's a lot in the press and guide. We are broadcasting today off-site, which is why it might sound like a phone connection, because it is. Dennis Reimars and I have our new studio here at the Dearborn Chamber of Commerce just for today. Since the, I'm sorry to tell you, but the Dearborn Farmers and Artisans Market, supposedly because of a threat of severe weather, which has not happened yet, was closed down early, right after about 12:30, after our last break from the field, where I specifically told everyone the clouds have moved away. So there. And it has not started raining or anything like that at this point. But in any event, we had fun this morning, and just remember it's going to be there every Friday from 9 a.m. to 3 p.m., and it's very rare that it gets rained out. So that's been my experience the last couple of years. Maybe one or two times over the 4 months from May to October is this event in weather problem. Okay, looking at the Dearborn Press and Guide from this last Wednesday, May 29th, the top story is, remember we mentioned that the city of Dearborn, well, a couple of years ago in 2010, was sued by several people who were arrested for sharing their Christian faith during the 2010 Arab International Festival. And of course, we also covered the somewhat related, although not directly related, story that the Arab International Festival is canceled for this year. It was scheduled for mid-June, and the people organizing it, that is the American Arab Community Council, Chamber of Commerce, mm-hmm. Okay, their members, the businesses in that part of Dearborn, felt that they didn't have time enough to get their portable facilities going, because it wasn't going to be on Warren Avenue anymore in front of those businesses, but it was going to be at Ford Woods Park. And I didn't hear anybody object to that location other than the fact of how do they move their, you know, their tents. Like, we have a tent, but we've had it for years,
right.
And they need a tent, they need tables, they need extra cooking facilities.
And this
facilities.
Is a relatively recent decision.
Right. And it's only, and maybe as far back as January,
maybe.
But
mm-hmm.
but so that only gave him like 3 months, or because you have to order some of this stuff,
sure.
Special order it, like a portable stove or something. It's not just a little backyard cook stove you can get at Home Depot. This is professional-grade stuff. It has to be certified for health reasons and licensed and all that. So I understand why they are not doing it this year. Maybe it will be back next year. But nonetheless, we knew that the city of Dearborn lost the case, or at least settled out of court, and we knew that that the amount wasn't able to be told of the cash settlement, but that we knew that the city of Dearborn had to put an apology on their website for 3 years to these four people for unjust or unfair arrest of these people at that event. Again, these were people of the Christian faith, not from this area, but from outside of town, called the Acts 17 Apologetics. And anyway, they had enough evidence, including a video of the arrest, and so they basically settled out of court, but they basically also won the case. Well, the Dearborn Press and Guide looked at the ruling, and the gag order, if you will, from the court said that the amount shall not be disclosed by the plaintiffs or their attorneys unless ordered to do so by the court. But it didn't say anything about the city of Dearborn not disclosing the amount. Dearborn said, we won't tell you either. Okay? But the Dearborn Press and Guide filed a Freedom of Information Act request, and the city pretty much had to release that information. So they were not forbidden by the court to not tell it. Just the people that got the money were told by the judge not to say how much it was. Well, it turns out, folks, and I think people at Dearborn wanted to know, because it comes out of the general fund, I think, $300,000. Now, there's only four people involved here, and I don't know if the money goes to these four people. Wait a minute, only three people were arrested, but they were acquitted by a jury. And then there's a person by whose last name is Hogg, Joshua Hogg, and we're not sure what his role was in this, but he was arrested, I guess. So in any event, do they split it up among those four people, or does it go back to, some of it goes to the lawyers, of course, always, does it go back all to Acts 17 Apologetics, that Christian faith group, which is not from the state. I think it's out of California. I'm not sure of that. So anyway, for those that are complaining about city payments and so on, I will say that I remember back in the 60s and 70s that the Dearborn Police Department lost a number of suits for unfair arrest and inappropriate arrest or chases down the street or whatever, and they had to pay hundreds of thousands and in one case over $1 million for going beyond the boundaries of what the court said was appropriate. And I know they've had several, in the last 30 years, training sessions to inform all the police officers as to what the legal situation really is currently for arrest, I don't know, questioning, detainment, whatever you want to call it, all the different variations of police connection with others. And so it, in a way, it's kind of a moving target, because each new ruling maybe changes somewhat the way that they've done business in the past.
In other words, it sets a new precedent that they will use
yeah.
they will reference.
Or new details to an old law. So anyway, that's how much it was, folks. If you want to know, your tax dollars at work paying off settlements. But let me just say on the part of the city, this has had to be done before. It's part of an existence. If you're not, if you're any big-time organization, you're probably being sued or suing somebody else at any point in time. I can only guess about Dearborn Heights. You know of any current lawsuits? Back and forth in Dearborn Heights.
Those are so kept so well under wrap. They exist though. Yes, that's all I can say is that because those sessions are closed for obvious reasons.
Well, it's not just police, but I mean cities in general have all kinds of people. Hey, my water main break. I'm going to sue you, or if they can. And of course, it doesn't mean you're going to win just because you sue.
Right.
It just means you'd like to have that hearing in court.
And we all know that's just the beginning of the process because you need to have you pay legal fees, and then there are appeals if you lose.
Mm-hmm.
And but the way they'll do it in Dearborn Heights is they'll send out the agenda. I get it every Thursday for the following Tuesday, regardless if it's a regularly scheduled council meeting or just a special session. And clearly on there they'll put. Whatever is going on before the actual meeting, and they'll say lawsuits. That's all it'll say, open or closed, And if it's a lawsuit session, it's 9.9 times out of 10 it's closed.
Yeah. So I'm just trying to give the two sides of that $300,000 issue.
Yep.
These things happen on the regular basis, and this was a couple of years ago. Then officers, according to the video, too, and video is only one perspective, It's only one camera, one eye on the scene, and it doesn't necessarily capture what's going on other than the direction the camera's pointed.
Sure, it may not be in context.
Right. And what happened minutes before or hours before and what happened afterwards. So I think our police force in Dearborn is very well trained and very well behaved, at least when they're on duty anyway. There was an officer that had a DUI or some problem last couple of weeks. But anyway, I really think the city of Dearborn's police department is extraordinarily good, as well as their fire department. And these things happen sometimes. So it was very difficult there. Now, the other lawsuit that came up last year that was mainly involving Wayne County Sheriff's Department, because for the last 2 years they've been in charge of the Arab International Policing and Warren, and they've been sued too, but those cases already have been thrown out. They felt the people didn't have any grounds. Again, these were people of the Christian faith who were trying to protest and claimed they weren't being protected enough. But in fact, from what I heard, they were actually inciting the crowd to violence and throwing things at them and so on. And so they have to take some of the blame for that, I think. I'm not sure why the judge tossed the case out. He didn't think they had any grounds to say that the police weren't, the Wayne County Sheriffs were not doing their duty. So. Okay, we're moving on, but this is the new WHFR Journal. We're not taking a break today because it's just Dennis and I and our telephone interface, broadcast interface here at Dearborn Area Chamber of Commerce in the beautiful Bryant Library facilities. And, of course, we thank them for letting us move in here after the market today was canceled early.
You did get permission, didn't you?
Yes.
Okay, just want to make sure. Now's a bad time to ask.
Well, actually, the one little phone jack in the wall. We're sitting in sort of the kitchen area, in fact, so if we need a little snack in a while, we can just cook something up.
Distract somebody while you grab the phone.
I wonder what's in the refrigerator here. they don't have a coffee pot on, darn it. But it's a wonderful facility for the Dearborn Area Chamber. Hey, Matt, come on in. Can we get a chair for Millie? And we're going to give you Dennis's boom headset here, Millie.
Okay.
And you should be able to hear me. Oh, there we go. Thank you. Thank you, Mike. So, Dennis, you can sit here quietly. So, Millie, where did you get the weather report today?
The hospital people. The Oakwood Hospital ladies came over and held it up and said, you better pay attention.
So where did they get that from?
From the Weather Channel, apparently.
Okay. I just mentioned for our folks about commercial media weather. Is they like to exaggerate always. Now, that's not, to be safe, I think you should be well informed, but accurately informed. Tuesday, I mentioned here in Dearborn, the commercial media were saying severe thunderstorm during the day. Dearborn police sent out their Nixel report, text and online. Oh, severe. Henry Ford Community College then picked it up and announced from the controller's office to all faculty and said, severe thunderstorm, get ready for that.
The sky is
falling. It leaked out through faculty to students who just up and left class. There was no rain Tuesday during the day. Okay, 5 minutes at noon, there was a light sprinkle. I really mean light sprinkle.
Yeah.
It was not here at all. And today, after it was called, and you really have to when official people tell you to do it, you know, I understand. It's just the problem is that they're not looking at the weather. In fact, I was broadcasting at the time. I saw the dark clouds coming from the west, as you probably did, Millie, and they moved northeast.
Right.
I even looked at my little phone, which has the radar maps. They were moving northeast. They never got here, and they're still not here.
But if you looked at the little radar that she had, and
yes.
her, she's a nurse.
No, it was a line.
Works for me. There
was a line of storms west of us, but they didn't come east. They went northeast,
right.
And
we
they missed us.
We certainly wouldn't have wanted a repeat of yesterday with all those folks outside
well,
of us. So we take the high road, and we hope for the best.
Absolutely, yeah. And I was mentioning, too, that the farm market in the last several years, in my recollection, and we were doing reports and out here most every Friday, and there was only one or two days out of 4 months that there was really any storm problems. Now, sometimes you had to sort of tough it out and bring a little umbrella, but the vendors were still here usually. It's just the setup that's a problem in the rain, as you know. But welcome. We talked to you last week.
Thank you.
What's coming up at the market?
Well, hopefully not any more broken tents.
Great weather.
It was a great day for tent salesmen today because they'll be making buckets of money this weekend as we go to the
park. I can recommend a good tent company that we use.
Good to know.
Yeah, but they're expensive. Most people just have like backyard tents, and I'm sorry to say that they're pretty lightweight. They cost like $50 or something, and they don't hold up to this kind of wind or constant use. I mean, if you're going to take it out every week, if you've got a business, you need to get one that's at least several hundred dollars. I think our aluminum frame is intended for outdoor all the time, and takes four people to set it up. But as they say in the brochure, only takes 10 minutes for four people who know what they're doing. But then it's very good in storms and that. So that's unfortunate, but we're just getting started. You're just getting rolling here. You had a great variety of vendors today.
Without the rain, we could call this a dry run.
That's right. I don't know if Dennis got as many freebie samples of food, and I'm still tasting the hot sauce. And there was the food delivery people, right?
Yes.
Uh-huh.
What, the truck, the gourmet?
Well, you have the food truck, the beignet truck that was here, but then there's another gal who actually does a food service that you can sign up to have the food brought to your house. And for folks who maybe don't want to cook or don't have time, or you've got something special going on, maybe you're taking care of someone, someone's ill, a wonderful thing to do.
Wonderful.
And they'll be here next week as well.
Wonderful variety of it's sort of like a professional Meals on Wheels, but it's organic and fresh and prepared daily, and it's such a wonderful variety of really fresh things, like almost gourmet quality. Now, it was... they quoted a price that I thought was a little high, but they explained that, you know, if you're coming out of a special dietary situation, like off a disease or a physical problem of some sort, coming out of the hospital, often you've got to change your diet. And some people think, oh, it's all going to be bland, or I don't know how to cook this, or I'm not even thinking about what I should do. That this is a great way to get them interested and excited, in fact, about a kind of food that's delicious and they hadn't really thought about before. Well, definitely, that's the idea, of course. The health is the basis for it.
Exactly.
And out here they were selling soup to go and didn't get a chance to get over there. I missed a couple vendors. I get to have to slide back next Friday to pick some up for later in the day. There was also the Pie Man.
Yes,
who was
Mumby
there?
Pie.
Mumby's.
Mumby's Pie, yeah. He's wonderful.
And they have little, about 6 or 8 inch personal size.
The whole thing.
Yeah, and it's either the dessert pies or they had some like dinner pies, like spinach, fettuccine cheese. Oh my gosh!
Yeah.
And so, but you just and so many of the vendors came back that had been here before. Katnick Orchards, Traffic Jam and Snug Breads, and
Gardenland.
Gardenland
and the wood
craftsman.
Oh, absolutely. He's wonderful. He works all winter making those beautiful things.
Yeah, he has, I assume that they're sort of plant containers, wooden
planters.
Planters.
Boxes, yeah.
Planters, what a word. And also he had some, like, storage cabinets for, like, music and other things that would be indoors, too. It wasn't just outdoor stuff. So, and so many other vendors that we can't mention.
Oh, it'll be here every week.
Well, probably. Oakwood Hospital is a co-sponsor,
yeah.
Like Henry Ford Community College, but we won't necessarily have a presence of those sponsors each week. But without them, you know, it wouldn't
without
make it possible.
Them, so. That's right. We're very, very grateful.
Well, you're here, and so do you know what's coming up next week? Not necessarily specific vendors, but do you have any special events?
As the season goes along, we'll certainly have more of the produce and fruits and vegetables, that sort of thing, because we have to wait for it to grow, of course. So we got a nice sampling of it today, mm-hmm. and as that rain keeps coming and the sun keeps coming, we'll get lots more.
Yes.
A lot of the same vendors you saw today, some additional ones. Our meat guy, who's wonderful, is local and had a little freezer issue this morning, so mm-hmm. he couldn't make it, but he'll be here next week.
A lot of very fresh
meat. A lot of vendors
meat.
Have
sometimes
a big
he brought organic eggs, I think, too,
oh, yeah.
with him from and right here from Michigan.
All
so help support those local Michigan vendors and come to the Dearborn Farmers and Artisans Market in upcoming Fridays. You know, I have to tell you what I also told to Joan Reed over the years is it's an idea for the future. It can't happen now. City is still in economic trouble. But wouldn't it be great if this parking lot actually had a roof over it? Not a building, just a roof. It's open air.
Yep.
But a roof. Now, it only, somebody tells me it costs $3 or $4 million. But
I'll put it on my bucket list, on my lottery
list. Well, it's something for community activists. Where's Kristen Taylor when we need her? Community activist. Maybe it'll make it a campaign issue for fall
even
and
better,
the election.
Think about this. Instead of putting a roof over this parking lot, just saying, that wonderful space between the two parking garages.
Right, yeah.
Can you
then
imagine?
You'd have covered parking, too, yes.
Yep, you'd have covered safe parking right there close, and imagine a children's garden and so many things you could do there with a little cover.
Right, yeah, and I think, again, with that cover, then there would be no question about even a day with light sprinkles.
That's right.
You know, of course, you have to have access from the sides, like Eastern Market and Detroit. They can pull right up to their stall and leave their car there even, or their truck, and they keep unloading so that that's so convenient.
And we do that with some of the farmers, too.
Right, we're almost able to do that here.
That.
Right,
yeah.
Not quite. But I don't know why that wouldn't be. I've heard of no one talking about projects like that for Dearborn, which I think would help just the excitement of the city. And I know that the food trucks bring their own. They don't need it. Cover so
right.
much, but
right.
But I think there could be concerts and other performances outdoors if it just had a roof over it.
Right.
And then, of course, Ford Field has several of those facilities. What the Italian American Pavilion has the roof, but I think it's open on the sides, if I'm not mistaken. Have they closed it in? I don't think so. And of course, it has a whole concrete base, but in a parking lot, you've already got something there. So.
Mm-hmm.
I just think, okay, Koranek was wrong. The rain has started.
And the rain begins.
Okay. So, yeah, we would have got wet, Millie.
What
okay.
We would
Koranek
have.
Koranek was wrong?
Yeah, Koranek was wrong.
Did you write that down?
It doesn't happen often, so we're taking note here. Yeah. Well, anyway.
I thought you were wrong once but then you
the one cloud passed, but this is worse. You know, this is actually one of those things you can't predict. There's no single cloud. The whole sky is kind of gray. That's the worst kind of rain because you never know when it's going to end. I mean, because it can just go on for a day or so. So, oh, well.
Good call.
We're packed up. Good call. Thank you to Oakwood Hospital.
Girl. That's right.
Millie
Thank Judd. You, Oakwood.
Seriously, just tell them you heard about it on the journal. We need a roof for a little bit more permanent farm market and other events outside in Dearborn.
You could even conceivably do a winter market.
I don't think,
because
I don't think they want you to hold this at the Italian American Pavilion. You can't get the trucks in there, you know, as easily. So we'll work on it. Thank you very much, Millie Judd, the new manager of the Dearborn Farmers and Artisans Market, working closely with, of course, the Dearborn Area Chamber of Commerce. And we thank them all. We are broadcasting live from the Dearborn Area Chamber of Commerce offices in West Dearborn because it's raining outside now. Okay.
But we're safe in here.
And we're safe in here. So let's see. Memorial Day parade went fine. Again, they were threatening rain that day. Didn't happen until the parade was over. That's wonderful. Millie's going to run away.
I missed the parade. I think I was probably prepping for the market.
Well, you know, I was watching it on television, and there was no sound.
Oh, no.
Now, I thought, wow, this is because I believe Memorial Day should be a solemn event, not necessarily applause, cheering, glorification of death and dying. Even if there is a purpose, it's still very sad to me, just my spin on it. And I thought, oh, this is so respectful. There's no sound. That was the cable TV through WOW. Now, I don't know if it routing through Comcast, mm-hmm. they got sound. There are going to be, and it's in the paper, folks, or you can look on the website of the city, Dearborn.org. They're going to rebroadcast it. So you've got,
oh, that's good. I've seen them have a couple hiccups once in a while.
You can probably even watch it 6 months from now, Melly.
We were trying to watch church once on TV, and there was no sound, and I thought they were praying very quietly.
Yes.
But it was
right.
The TV.
There was actually... I had to turn the volume up. Normally, I listen. There's a number on your cable box for volume. Normally, I listen at 18. So I had to go all the way up to maximum, which turned out to be 72. And I thought, boy, I hope they don't kick in with the sound all of a sudden.
There go your speakers.
There go my ears. But it they actually had classical music buried there. And it wasn't our station or any other station. It was just classical music. And then they switched to jazz. I'm thinking somebody put a CD on back at the cable headquarters, whatever it was. But it was so low, it wasn't... You know, it was only bad at the end when they had a few people making comments from City Hall and they were just moving their lips. You know, there was no,
there
really
comment
was no
there
sound,
somewhere.
So.
I'm going to let you go with that.
It was. I want to commend, just as one media business to another, they had beautiful video coverage. And, Dennis, you should try to watch the playback sometime in terms of they must have had four or five cameras, a couple people live down on the street, and it was, you know, the right close-ups following the float. They had somebody up high to look down the street on what's coming, and then a couple people closer.
Yeah, our budget's a little lower than
and
that.
And so they must have used, I think they still have a cable van. I think I've
they
seen
They do, I see it in Centennial Library.
They moved that out, I know, at homecoming
sure.
time to set up. And probably a lot of volunteers from high schools. And whoever was doing the switching was really getting the right shot. I mean, had good people on cameras. A lot of times the camera people have to be very intuitive.
Right.
Or have very good instructions about what to do when from their intercom with the director.
Sure.
And, boy, it was really good video, but no commentary at all.
Right.
So maybe they shouldn't have any commentary. But if you don't know what John Dingell looks like, then... You know,
sort
you're
of,
nobody anyway.
Sort of related. Sorry. Doesn't Susan McGraw, didn't she in the past at least do a cover parade for Garden City?
Garden City, yeah. She used to be the commentator
yeah.
for that.
And obviously, I know
I'm not sure if that's still going on. I didn't hear from her that there was a big Garden City event
this year.
She's
very good at those things.
I know she's on their cable commission over there.
Right.
Okay. City of Dearborn, you ask, do we have our merger yet with the Melvindale Fire Department, Dearborn and Melvindale? No, we don't. The mayor of Melvindale, her name is Stacy Stritz. Her day job is at Henry Ford Community College mm-hmm. in the HFCC Foundation office.
We did a nice article about her at the Mirror News mm-hmm. about a year ago.
But she knows nothing.
Well, I don't
because they haven't talked about it at their council meeting. She says, I can't really share the details. Once there's a decision made, you know how politics are, then we will have a public hearing. Okay. And he says, I know there's one other councilman down there in Melvindale said, I know there's a lot of questions out there. This council has went into closed session.
Mm-hmm.
Is that grammatically correct? Has went? Anyway, has gone, I thought. Negotiations between the two cities are closed session.
Mm-hmm.
The sad thing is that one of those cities, Dearborn, is in an election year. That means all these unanswered questions make, well, the mayor and the current council people look bad. Because they can't comment until, just like Stacy said, until there is something that's worked out. So my guess is they're not that far away. Stritz said there's, Mayor Stritz in Melvindale said that there's a May 31st deadline for the deal to be finalized. And, but we don't know exactly what's going to happen.
May 31st? That's today?
Yeah.
Good.
I know.
Well, then we will know something next week.
I didn't know that the city council would meet on Fridays. You know, in Dearborn Heights, you don't have Fridays.
No, they're not even. The city's closed.
City's closed
for
4 day week.
Emergency
so,
services.
Know. Right. So, well, we'll let you know as soon as they know, and then they'll let you know. But when I talked to Mayor O'Reilly on this show, the Journal Show, which is still archived on our WHFR.fm website under Talk Shows, WHFR Journal, look up the date, April 19th, 2013, and that's our hour-long interview with Mayor John B. O'Reilly, Jr., and he did go into some detail about the status of this and how it's moving along. And at that time, it sounded like it looked good. See something there, Dennis?
Well, I was just looking at something that's going on in Dearborn Heights tomorrow, and I'm just planning ahead.
Okay. All right. What happened with the city of Dearborn budget? Well, they did some tweaking. And here's a surprise. Okay. Before the council vote, and they passed it, But this is really strange. They had brought in Jack Tate, who is the Dearborn Historical Museum acting chief curator, okay, to an emergency budget meeting a couple weeks ago, on May 15th. They had the meeting. And then he got a call to attend the hearing and found out the council was pulling his capital project, that is, repairing the buildings. And there's actually four buildings that are part of the Historical Museum. I can't name them all for you, but I think they're in the article here. In any event, they cut the budget. Instead of getting $200,000 in 2013-14, museum's funding was cut to $59,000. The cut wasn't discussed during the budget workshop, and Tate declined comment after the hearing. Must have been kind of upset, because everybody thought it was a done deal. The mayor's budget was it. Now that want to cut it. Well, here's what it is, folks. It seems that unlike other nonprofits and organizations in Dearborn, the Dearborn Historical Museum is sitting on the Lizzie Ross Endowment Fund. Okay? And how much money? $900,000 almost. Not quite, but almost. $900,000. And Lizzie Ross, again, is nicknamed the Ross Trust.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? When I mention it further here. The city of Dearborn, Tefelski and David Bozzi and others said, look, just take the money out of the trust. Why should it come from the city? Well, of course, you know, it's nice to have a trust, a rainy day fund or whatever you want to call it.
Sure.
And it is raining today right now.
Right.
So, Dennis and I have to have a cab fare to get back. So, we brought our cars, but it's going to be wet going to the car. Anyway, so Bazzi, and this is David Bazzi at the council meeting, suggested that Tate come to the council, again, the head of the Dearborn Historical Museum, when money is needed.
Hmm.
So after the Ross Fund is gone, then come and ask for something.
Yeah, maybe we'll give it to you.
Yeah. Now, I don't think that's fair because, an endowment fund, okay, $900,000, a lot of money to sit on.
Sure.
But the city of Dearborn is sitting on about 10% of their $1 million budget, which is $10 million. I think it's actually $12 million they're going to have. But that's sort of expected for a difficult crisis. You need about a 10% excess in reserve, in
right.
savings. And, of course, $900,000 is a lot more than 10%. But they've cut the Historical Museum's budget so much here in terms of city support that I just think it's really nitpicking. I know a lot of people in the community are upset about, losing the libraries, the pools, and Historical Museum. Now, they still got the money. And so it's a good point. Maybe they ought to use up the endowment fund. But I thought an endowment, the whole idea was you keep enough in there so that the interest keeps renewing it.
So
if you start taking out $200,000 every year, in a couple of years it'll be gone.
So what you're saying is theoretically
you're
not
supposed itself.
To touch the principal.
Right.
You just touch the interest that is
right.
accrued.
Mm-hmm. Don't touch the principal or any of the teachers.
Yeah. Right. Mm-hmm. The principal, P-A-L.
Right. He's your pal.
That's right.
So anyway, that's the story. So that was the budget tweaking. O'Reilly also, when Dearborn approved its budget, told the council the city has asked in federal court. This is about the 19th District lawsuits. Remember, there was the question when Judge
Summers
had to make administrative decisions in his position as Chief Justice of the 19th District Court, appointed by the state of Michigan.
Sure.
Okay, into that. Well, his dismissals were in question, and there was legal suits. I think two out of three have been settled already.
Mm-hmm.
But he basically lost his position. At the juries, in this case, disagreed with the need for dismissing this one person or two people.
Mm-hmm.
And so who has to pay?
Well, that was the big question.
So
in addition to the fine, the
he's
legal
paid,
fees.
He's paying a salary from the city of Dearborn.
Mm-hmm.
The 19th District Court's budget comes from the city of Dearborn. But as Chief Justice, he made administrative decisions, but he was only in that position because he was appointed by the state.
Right.
So now, here's this quote I just found here in the story, folks. O'Reilly told the council, that I didn't just find it, I saw it last night, by the way, I underlined it. City has asked in federal court whether it's responsible for paying judgment money in the suits. And the court and the city have both been told, so I guess they have an answer to this, that they're not liable because they're civil rights cases against Summers.
Interesting.
Now, this is more than $1 million.
Yeah.
What did it add up to? 1.2 million.
And one of them at least.
Oh, my gosh.
So yeah, they're now saying he's personally responsible.
Well, one or several have been settled already, so I don't think they can go back to Summers. But whatever hasn't been settled,
right.
The city doesn't have to pay. So I guess the federal court has answered that question. So the city of Dearborn is off the hook on that. But then the question is, well, I don't know, how will he pay? But that's his problem, I guess. They have given a nice budget increase to the district court, but they're expecting the district court to keep raising, I guess, fines.
Sure.
To those bad people that do bad things, are going to increase their fines rates so that they'll be able to make more money to compensate for some of that. But Judge Salami, who is the Chief Justice now and in charge of the finances and the budget, he said, we can't predict how many court cases are going to come in.
No.
And if there's more court cases, we have to spend more money.
Well, that job itself is mostly administrative, as far as, like you said, scheduling and things like that. And I remember when we talked to Summers after, what's that?
It's budget, too. And,
sure.
And one other thing I wanted to mention here was that Salome's requested that their relatively small budget not have line items. What this means is, 15% for buying office supplies or something. Because at certain times, a smaller operation, this was true for WHFR in the first 15 years we were around, we didn't get much money from the college, but they had no line items. So 1 year we could use it all for repairs, 1 year for new equipment. Whatever we needed at the time, we didn't have to go back and renegotiate and change and transfer money from one line item to another, because that would mean a trip to the Board of Trustees. That would slow it down 2 months. Smaller operations have to have just one set budget and be allowed flexibility. Now, of course, it's not secret what they do with the money. You keep records.
Well, that's the point. Some people look at the line item way as more transparent. And for bigger entities, I agree.
Line item is much better for large corporations that have to pool their numbers. The auditor wants to know office supplies citywide, let's say, including the district court, and so they need the breakdown. But I think you can calculate that after the fact, at the end of the budget year.
You know, I don't know if you recall, but at one point we read in the paper shortly after a decision was made in the Summers case, and they'd already started garnishing his wages. At least on one occasion, they garnished almost $3,000 in a month from him, and I wonder if that's the process now.
Right. I don't know.
But we questioned it at the time, and we said, why are they taking it from him when the state or the city might have to pay? And now we found out it might be him.
We're coming to the end. My watch is a little fast. I think there's officially 4 minutes before 2 o'clock when the journal comes to an end today. We've had a lot of fun out here at the Dearborn Farmers and Artisans Market. It looks like the rain has stopped. So when did it rain? 15 minutes?
Did you have one thing you want? Go ahead.
Well, on the budget thing here, there was still an issue about somebody raised a question in the campaigns, too, about paying what bills will the city have to pay on the new train station? And it seems that the city will have to pay vendor bills before the federal grant money arrives, which generally is a 30 to 60-day turnaround. So it's going to equal out, finally. But the city does have to pay a lot of bills during the construction stage the first couple years, but the federal government's going to pay you back. So there's no extra cost there. I don't know about ongoing operating cost or keeping the parking lots clean or whatever. Who has to pay for that? And, of course, the budget approved in Dearborn does not have any mention of a capital budget for the new Dearborn Administrative Center, where they're supposed to move in next year, according to their plans, in that ADP building that they bought. It doesn't talk about what to do with the money from Severstall, the $8.5 million. And it doesn't talk about any cost involved in maybe consolidation of the Dearborn and Melvindale Fire Department. So there's still some questions about how they're going to do that. The good news for people in Dearborn is that the millage is falling, almost a 1 mil reduction, so you'll be paying less in taxes in Dearborn. But especially because most of that 1 mil, 0.65 or 65% of that 1 mil, is because the Ford Community Performing Arts Center is paid off.
That's good.
So the debt millage is gone, and so that's gone there. Okay. You You got a story finally?
Well, not even a funny.
Comment?
I do. The Dearborn Heights Watershed Stewards Commission is calling for volunteers to help take part in the Friends of the Rouge River Rouge Rescue 2013.
Yep.
It's tomorrow. 9 a.m. to noon at Parkland Park, which is right off of Ann Arbor Trail, right there, Dearborn Heights. And they're working on multiple projects, including weeding and cleanup of the native plant gardens, invasive plant removal, and trash pickup. And they're doing a lot of this, and it's a vital, vital thing.
Yep.
So if you feel like getting out and about tomorrow to volunteer, that's your thing.
Where's the meeting point? Ford Field, maybe?
At Parkland Park.
Oh, Parkland Park.
No, this is for Heights.
Oh, in the Heights.
Yep.
Okay.
Noon, from 9 a.m. to noon. We'll be there a little bit before 9 at Parkland Park. And one last thing, if you have an overdue library book until the 14th, from January or June 3rd to 14th, at Dearborn, any Dearborn, including HFCC, you can take a canned good back, and one canned good for every dollar of overdue fines. It's only for overdue fines, not for missing or lost items.
That's wonderful. Go. Also, a lot of people know and like to go to the they're closing off the streets, a couple streets in the historic district in West Dearborn. It's the Edison Street, the Gregory Street, and yard sale.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Neighborhood yard sale.
Sure.
And that's tomorrow, June 1st. It's always packed, and you know, people in that area have a lot of great antiques and great things that they're putting out for much less money than they're worth usually.
Yep. Don't let the weather scare you.
No, don't worry.
Ever.
And unless it is raining, it's not raining. Just remember that.
Very well said.
Okay. So let's have a great weekend, folks, and hope everybody dries out if needed, and take care out there. We're going to go back to the studio now. Hopefully Highway 61 with Joanne Kay is going to start up in just moments. If not, I know Caroline is going to talk to us and put on some great music of some sort. Talk to me, folks. What's happening there?
Okay. Well, I enjoyed listening to all the information that you all had to offer.
Thank you.
I'm sorry you got rained out. Joe was on his way there.
I missed out on food myself. I was going to get something, but the vendors closed up too quick. So.
Okay. I have a couple. I found your Bones theme, I think. I think it's the short version. And I have Highway 61 promo ready to set
Joanne
up.
Has Joanne made it in yet?
Not quite yet. She'll be, maybe she got
She'll
stuck
be there
in the
shortly,
rain.
I know. And just watch out for her there. You can end with the Bones theme if you want to.
Okay.
It's only 40 seconds.
All right.
But then just cover with, I don't know, did I hear Joe in the background?
No, it's just,
okay,
just
a little big band music
little
or
me.
Just pull some blues off the wall there?
Yeah, we'll make it work.
Okay, we'll see you in a while. I'm coming back there, and I'll be back in a half an hour at least. Okay?
Okay, thank you so much.
Thanks, Carolyn. Okay.
Bye-bye. Bye. WHFR Dearborn.
Yes, it is WHFR Dearborn that you're listening to here on the only station making waves. Let's come right back with some Highway 61 show with Joanne. So stay tuned.
Dig deeper. Local news and alternative views for Dearborn and the surrounding area on the new WHFR Journal every Friday from 1 to 2 p.m. and anytime as